I created the comprehensive step-by-step program called Healed Being for emotionally abusive people that want to change over at healedbeing.com. If you hurt the people you love, or you know someone that does, Healed Being is the most effective course that will change lives. Sign up for the first four lessons for free over at healedbeing.com. Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now. Hello, this is Paul Coligliani, and I'm here to help you learn to deal with difficult people and tackle life's challenges without compromising who you are. This show consists of my personal opinions and is meant for informational purposes only. Always seek a professional for your mental health and well-being. All right, I am so glad you are here today, and if you're new to the show, this is what I do. Welcome. And if you have been listening a while, I'm so glad you're back. Thank you for tuning in again. I get right into the subject matter. If you're new, this is what I do. I like to read an email and try to help somebody through their stuff. We'll see. This is one of those things where I do my best. I give you my insights and opinions, and I try to guide you to a place that allows you to be as authentic as I believe you should be. I believe you should feel comfortable in your own skin enough to feel comfortable in your own skin, being yourself, dealing with challenges, dealing with difficult people. Let's see where this first email goes. This person wrote, "Hey, Paul, I wrote to you previously about an abusive partner, I think they mean, and I want to take a moment to thank you. Today, I wrote to you about a different but related matter. And as I said previously, my parents have a really toxic, abusive relationship where my mother slaves away for my father while he is emotionally distant and disrespectful. I've become aware of that fact, and I replicate this in my relationships with the men in my life. I get obsessed with them. I think about them relentlessly, and I try to center my every action in a way that would make them happy. It's pathetic, I know. Most recent obsession has been with a guy who is in a committed relationship, and I've been trying to date other men to get over him. And when I spoke about it with my therapist, she queried whether I should be dating at all. She stated the pattern she's observed is that when I am romantically interested in a man, I give away my power. I'm too vulnerable and I'm accommodating, and that always brings out the worst in them. She suggested that I wait until I move out from my abusive household and I've built myself up to know who I am and to have enough strength and to be strong-willed and entirely myself in a relationship. I wanted to get your opinion on this. I always thought if I found the right person, it would all fall into place. I want to note that I think these obsessions may be a coping mechanism to distract myself from living with my abusive parents." Thank you for writing that, and sorry you're going through all this. Yes, your therapist is, she's spot on. You are in an abusive situation, and while you're in that abusive situation, you are influenced by the abusers. You might not even be in the same room with them, and you're influenced. Every thought you have, every thought that comes up for you will include them in some way. I want to go to the store, but what will they think? Or maybe I should ask them what they need, because if I come back and I didn't ask them, they're going to yell at me. And so I have to plan my trip to the store because they're involved in my life. And because they're in my life, things could go wrong. This is the thinking. This is why you're having obsessive thinking, because these people are still in your life. They're influencing you even when they're not influencing you. No, they're not doing it externally. They're in your head. And they'll stay in your head as long as they stay in your proximity. And as long as you live by their not even imposed rules, it's their unwritten rules. It's the rules that you've created for your life that tell you, if I do this, this will happen to me. In other words, if I go to the store and I don't ask them if they want anything, then I'll come back and they'll yell at me. Of course, that makes life completely different than who you'd be. That, you're going to be a different person when you're not living with or around difficult or toxic people. You will be a different person. Now, it will take some time to heal, Because after you get out of any type of abusive relationship, you need time to heal. In my experience, it's like 2 to 4 months minimum. And what that means is it takes some time after you get out of an abusive or difficult relationship for the fog to lift and your brain to clear. The fog lifting is the first sign of it is when you have a thought that is your own, that doesn't include them in the thought. Am I going to go to bed and make a noise and wake them up? That's going to include them. You know, even going to bed, if I brush my teeth and I use the toothpaste and they wake up and there's no toothpaste left, what's going to happen then? I mean, all of these thoughts that you have day to day when you live with an abusive person or abusive parents in this case are going to, they're going to be pervasive and you will obsess over and over and over again. So what happens then when you go out and look for a romantic relationship? What happens is you're looking for something that you don't have and that you want. I mean, I'm making some guesses. I'm making some assumptions about your life and what you're doing. But this is how we attract toxic people into our lives, or we're attracted to toxic people or difficult people. Not everyone's toxic. Not everyone's difficult, but one can be both or both either. The idea is that when you go out and you find someone, you're looking for qualities that make you feel good inside, that make you feel worthy. And sometimes we have qualities or criteria that are exaggerated or excessive. And what that means is you might go out and seek someone who's a true nurturer. Like you might seek someone who gives and gives and gives, and they just feel like they're perfect for you because they are giving while other people are taking. And it's great. If you find someone who's nurturing and giving and things like that, that's a wonderful, or those qualities are wonderful to have in a partner. But what happens when you are excessive or exaggerating that need? If you have a severe need or a hyper need or an intense need for those things, for example, then what you end up doing is finding someone that might be dysfunctional in those areas. Monte nice. I know I am, but this is what happens, is that we're dealing with or we're trying to heal from some other type of relationship, either in the past or what we're going through today, and we have an excessive need or an exaggerated need that we have to be really careful about. So if you're in a relationship that takes, and you feel powerless, and then you meet someone that gives, and you feel powerful, or you feel worthy, you feel like you're happy finally, and this is perfect, and they're my soulmate, you know? When this happens, then we end up falling in love really quickly. I mean, talking about romantic relationships. And when you have all these needs fulfilled right at the get-go, we have to be really careful, because that's when we lure in without trying, we lure in somebody that may not be healthy for us. So when coming out of a relationship where we were a victim of some sort, we might exaggerate or feel an excessive need to fulfill something that wasn't fulfilled. So if you felt unworthy, then when you meet somebody who makes you feel on top of the world and worthy, what do? You fall for them. You want that. That's what happens. But that's dangerous. And let me tell you why. And maybe that's a strong word, but it can be dangerous, because you are going to meet someone that is fulfilling those parts of you that you felt were in deficit. And because of that, you could be blind to the red flags of another toxic relationship. And that is something that you just have to be careful about. In fact, I learned this when I got my divorce. It was about 10 years ago from this recording. When I got divorced, the first thing I wanted to do was find another relationship. That was the first thing I wanted to do because I wanted to feel fulfilled. I wanted to feel loved. I wanted to feel that connection and share those experiences again. I wanted to be in a relationship because I knew being in a relationship made me happy. So that's what I did. I got onto an online dating site or two of them, and then I was talking to different women, and I didn't really go out on any dates, but it took about a month of doing this when I finally realized, or I asked myself the question, what am I doing? I just got divorced. I need to heal from this, and I also need to figure out why I seek the next relationship instead of trying to figure out who I am without one. And so I've been in a relationship most of my life. If my relationship ended, then what I did was look for another one. And so I was always occupying my mind. And when you occupy your mind with other people, then you don't get to learn who you are without those people. And if you don't know who you are and what you need, especially excessively, you might seek those things you need in others to fulfill you. And again, part of this is normal. Part of this is normal mating ritual where, hey, that person would make me happy. That's a normal mating ritual thought. I'm really making it primal now. This is it. This is our animal instincts kicking in. And also, you know, what do we need in our lives? I want security. I want somebody to make me laugh. I want somebody who respects me. I want something to share experiences with, and on and on and on. We're fulfilling all these relationship values. And we just have to be careful. We have to be careful and ask ourselves, what do I need more than anything? What do I need more than anything from a partner? What do I need? And then when you discover that, when you answer those questions, you will start to figure out what you might be looking at in someone and what you might also miss. So if you said, I need somebody who just sees me for who I am and makes me feel worthy and loves me so much that I am their only thought, that might be an excessive way to look at it. I'm their only thought. That's really out there. But some people do this. I want them to have me at the top of their mind all the time. I want to be the priority in their life. So you meet someone and that's what happens. And you're their priority because that's what you wanted and that's what you're looking for in a partner. And then that's where you are for the first 2 to 4 to 6 months. And then things change. So what happened? What might have happened was you missed some of the red flags or you fell for them really fast and you didn't know that there were other things that you needed because you were so focused on getting these other needs met. This is why I believe it's important to have a list of criteria, of components of a relationship that you really want. Do they make me laugh? Do they respect me? Can we talk about things that we disagree on and not have some full-blown out argument? I mean, this is something that you think about so that when you get into a relationship that you're almost testing it, you're almost challenging the relationship so that you don't find out later after you're way deep in love. So you challenge the relationship with things that you know could be a problem. That doesn't mean you introduce it right away. You still get a chance to know each other, but man, I'm a believer of falling in love slowly. Fall in love slowly. That way you can get a feel every single day or week of what's going on. You get a feel of how this relationship is developing so that you can tell yourself everything's going well and I'm not falling too deeply. I really like this person. I have feelings, but I'm not falling too deeply because I don't want to get fooled. I don't want to get conned into some relationship that hurts me. So this is what the idea is, just to be aware of your enhanced, exaggerated, intense needs that you have while you are seeking a partner. That's my belief. I believe that you need to be aware of what you need intensely. What's exaggerated, like something that's much needier inside of you than other things. if you need constant attention, if you want to have somebody that texts you back in 30 seconds every time you text them, that might be excessive. That might be an exaggeration. I'm not saying it's a ridiculous exaggeration. I'm not saying that it's something you can't or shouldn't have. I'm just asking you to be aware of it in yourself. When you're aware of it, then you can ask yourself when you find someone new and you're dating or something like that, you can ask, am I getting these needs fulfilled in an excessive way? That sounds a little strange when I say that, but let's just say that they are gift bombing you. Have you ever heard of gift bombing or love bombing, where they are just showering you with gifts or love or attention, and you're just digging it, you're soaking it all in? This could turn into a very difficult relationship later. I don't want to rain on anyone's parade here, but this is what happens. Some people are out there and they do these things at the beginning of a relationship, and then as things settle and the honeymoon period is over, you get to see their true colors. And hopefully those true colors are still just as kind and caring and supportive and generous and respectful. Hopefully that's who they are. But when you fall in love slowly and you allow things to settle, you allow the honeymoon period to end before your feelings get stronger. I know it can be difficult, but if you allow yourself to go slowly through this honeymoon period, really, you can still enjoy, you can still have fun, you can still be passionate, you can still connect at deep levels. But I really believe there needs to be a small guard inside your brain and body that is watching out for you. What's that about? What's that about? What's that about? And some people might think, well, I don't want to be paranoid all the time. It's not about that at all. You should have this up all the time. If you're walking out outside and it's dark out, you should have that small guard up inside you. That guard should be kind of looking out for you. This is you at a deeper level. This is your instincts. This is your protector. This is what I might call the adult you, the personal bodyguard that watches over you and watches out for you and has your best interest in mind. It's almost self-parenting. Almost. Depends on your parents. It depends on if they were healthy for you. But whether you had healthy parents or not, or mentally well parents or not, it doesn't matter, because self-parenting is the healthiest thing you can have. I'm going to protect you. I have unconditional love for you, and I'm going to watch out for you because I care about you. I love you. I respect you, and I support you, and I want you to be happy. And if this person does things that makes you unhappy or worse, hurts you, I'm going to protect you. Yeah, but I'm in love, and I don't want to lose that person. But I'm here to protect you from this. I'm here to protect you from it getting worse, because now they're showing their true colors. And I need you. I need to pull you out of this. This is what I'm here for you. I need to protect you so that you don't get stuck in a situation where you commit to a person that you fell head over heels in love with, and now you feel stuck. You bought a house together. You had a baby together. You go even further than that. Whatever it is, you make all these commitments. And this is what happens, is we start making these commitments with people that we really sometimes don't even know yet. Like, who are they when we live together? Who are they when we're engaged? Who are they when we have a kid or adopt a kid or get a dog together? Who are they? Are they still the same person or have they changed? And I'm not saying that you should wait to fall in love until you're 10 years into marriage. I'm just saying you got to watch yourself. And this is what the personal protector, the personal bodyguard inside of you is. They are your watcher. They are in the watchtower looking out for you. It is something that when you activate that thing, that person inside of you, when you activate that, then you can feel a little bit safer inside yourself, knowing that there's a deeper part of you that has your best interest in mind, no matter what. Those people don't have my best interest in mind, or if they don't, I am protected. This is what I like to do. Even people that I love and I've known for years, that protector isn't like discounting them. It's not discounting anyone. I mean, my best friends, I'm not expecting any bad stuff from that. I can let that guard just go to sleep because I've known them for years. My girlfriend, I've known her for years. I've learned to develop a trust because that trust was reinforced over and over and over again. There's no reason for them to cross me or betray me. Doesn't mean it won't happen, but I don't need that guard on duty when I'm around those people. If they happen to surprise me and betray me or lie to me or something like that, I'll deal with it then. But it took me a long time to develop these trusting relationships. But the person I've known for 6 months, not long enough. It's not. I can still love them as a friend or a lover. I can still trust them as far as they can show me that they are trusting. I can still have the same relationship that I've had with other people for years, but my protector is awake. And that protector makes me feel better. Makes me feel better knowing that I'm watching out for myself, or he, it is watching out for me. And all that is to me is just an extra bit of awareness. Now, take out the idea of some entity inside of you doing this if you want. I mean, you might like that. That's perfect. But let's just say for anyone else that wants to do this, it's an extra bit of awareness. It's an extra question at the end of every interaction. Like, I wonder what that was about. Or, I wonder what they meant by that. That extra question that helps you learn a bit more instead of just sweeping it under the rug. Because when you sweep it under the rug, what ends up happening is that you let it go. And when you let it go, it's probably part of a taking it easy on them process, or forgiving process, or giving them the benefit of the doubt process, which are all noble, wonderful qualities to have. But if you haven't known them long enough to build that trust, and I mean longer than 6 months, takes a long time sometimes. But I believe that we should have that little guard up for as long as it takes. I mean, that's where I go. That's how I do it. So yes, you might have a loving, trusting relationship after 6 months, and now you think, okay, I can put the guard away, but I still think you need it. I still think you need it because 6 months isn't long enough. 6 months is half a year, and a lot can happen in a year. And the reason I'm saying this is because let's look at holidays. Most holidays come once a year, and we haven't experienced a holiday or every holiday with the person that we're with if we haven't been with them for a year. We may not have met the person's friends or parents during that time or any time. We may not know who they are and how they show up, because sometimes we carry stuff around that get triggered during the holidays. So that might be a time when you discover something else about them that you need to be aware of. If they get angry at Christmas because they're spending so much money, it's good to know. If we met them in January and you never see that anger until Christmas, and you've developed a love and trust and bond, and you are so in love with them, and then suddenly they're angry and they're throwing things on Christmas or around the holidays like that, then you have to be aware that you might have personality traits that you haven't seen before. And what usually ends up happening is the first time you see it isn't usually the last time. Can be just a fluke, can be just a small trigger that they realize, oh crap, I got to work on that, sorry about that. And then they deal with it and heal from it and all that. But it might be in there and hasn't been healed. And they don't think it's a problem, or they just want you to back off and they don't care how you feel about it. You don't want to find these things out after you're fully committed. And I know there are people right now saying, yeah, I'm fully committed already. We're locked into this relationship and now there's no way out. There's no option. So I have to live with it. Well, I hope you don't think that. There's always an option. Not all options are comfortable. So it is sometimes a difficult decision, but there are options. There are things that you may not want to do, but there are ways to think about it that you may not have thought about it before. Like if I was with a very toxic, difficult person and leaving that person meant I'd be homeless, I'm the type of guy that would do it. Don't don't follow my example. Please do not. But that's who I am. I don't want to be around toxic people that are making me miserable and hurting me. Now, hopefully it doesn't reach that, but because I'm willing to take that step away from toxic people, I'm also willing to stand up to those people. Again, don't follow my example. Some people are dangerous, but this is who I am. I don't want those people in my life, and I don't want to be disrespected, and I don't want to have to deal with toxic behaviors because life is too damn short. And because life is short, I want to have more happy days than angry ones or sad ones or depressing ones. I don't want those kind of days. So I live life in a way that moves me toward happiness and away from fear and despair and misery. I don't want to be in those positions. Not that I can avoid it all the time, but I assess what I'm going through and then I figure out what I'm going to do next. But again, that's just me. That's who I am. And I'm not saying I'm always successful. I just think that way because I have my personal bodyguard. I have my personal brain and bodyguard, I guess you could call him. He's in the watchtower watching over me. I never had allergies before I moved to Georgia. And now let's just say, you know, I love my girlfriend and I'm glad I made the sacrifice to move here. But this air, that's beautiful and it's full of allergens that my body isn't used to. That's why I'm glad we found Air Doctor. Air Doctor is not just any ordinary air purifier. It's been featured on CNN, Money, and ABC, and it's a game changer. My girlfriend told me the other night that her lungs have never felt clearer. We weren't even talking about the Air Doctor at the time, and she mentioned it, and I said, I bet it's the Air Doctor. And she agreed, and ever since we got it, we are now breathing and sleeping better. It's quiet and tested to remove 99.9% of tested bacteria and viruses. Air Doctor has changed our lives, and I'm sharing this with you in case you're looking for an air purifying solution that just works. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, all you have to do is pay for shipping and send it back for a full refund. Head over to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code BRAIN, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Yes, lock this special offer in by going to airdoctorpro, airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code BRAIN. And another sponsor of today's episode is BetterHelp. If you've never heard of them, I'd be surprised, because BetterHelp is an evolution in therapy where you can talk to a caring, licensed professional about anything going on in your life and get the guidance you're looking for. BetterHelp is online therapy that simply works. I've gotten a ton of feedback from those who've used it, and they all share that they love it. It's flexible. They love that it's entirely online. BetterHelp is designed to be convenient and flexible and suited to your schedule. So as you can imagine, just the convenience and affordability alone is enough of a reason to try it out and help you through life's struggles. I'm amazed at what therapy can do. I mean, when I became depressed after my first long-term relationship ended, I needed it. And I'm glad I went, because being able to walk away and leave my struggle behind me, that's what helped me move on to the next phase of life. And today you can have a better life through BetterHelp. Check out BetterHelp over at betterhelp.com/brain. When you go to betterhelp.com/brain, you'll get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/brain. So let me get to this person who wrote and see if I can address a couple of the things that they said here. He said, your therapist observed that when you're romantically interested in a man, you give away your power and that you're too vulnerable and accommodating, and that always brings out the worst in them. I probably wouldn't word it that way myself, but yes, when you're accommodating, that's what I look at as people-pleasing. People-pleasing is something I'm very familiar with because I used to do it. People-pleasing causes people to become, burdened. They feel burdened and annoyed by the people pleaser, because what ends up happening is they are doting on the person. And the person who is getting all the people pleasing feels like the other person doesn't really have their own opinions. The other person doesn't want to live an independent life together. like an interdependent life together, and it becomes more about someone being served. And some people don't want that, or a lot of people don't want to be served all the time. They want to be with an independent person that has their own wants and needs and opinions and is willing to have discussions that might lead to disagreements. Because people pleasing is like telling somebody, I'll never show you the real me. I'll never show you who I am because I just want to accommodate you and make you think that I am amenable to anything. Make you think I'm agreeable about everything. And that's not real. It's not authentic. And people detect it. They sense it. And they get incensed by it. They get annoyed by it. Again, I know this from experience. They don't like not knowing the real person. A minor example is, hey, we're all going to a restaurant. What do you want? And then the people pleaser says, whatever you want. I mean, we can all say this, but I'm giving you an example of a people pleaser. What do you want? I don't care. Whatever you want. And then they go, well, what do you like? And they said, I'll eat anything. People pleaser says, I'll eat anything you want. And then they're thinking, okay, well, what do you want though? Let's just say that there are 10 choices. What would be your choice? Whatever you want. And so that's when it becomes a burden or an annoyance, is that the person is asking the people pleaser, what do you want? And the people pleaser just wants to please by saying, I'll take anything you want. And again, I'm not putting that specific example down. We all do this. I don't care. Let's eat anything. Usually when I do it with my girlfriend, I'll say, what do you want? And she'll say, I don't care, anything. And then I'll say, okay, how about this? And she'll go, anything but that. So it doesn't always work. And she understands that. And she's not a people pleaser. But the whole point is, when you have somebody like a people pleaser, an accommodator, they're not showing you their true selves. They're not speaking from an authentic place. They think they are, at least in most cases. They think they're speaking authentically. They think they're being supportive. They think they're being nice. But what they're really doing is showing you a side of them that they believe you want to see. And that's why it can be more of a hindrance than a help, is that this person shows up and they're showing you the side that they believe you want to see. And what that means is the person that deals with that has to try to find out who the other person is. They have to interpret what's going on. And a lot of people can't interpret it. I never showed anger, or maybe once. I never showed anger in one of my first long-term relationships. And I just tried to hide it because I didn't want her to think I had anger in me. I didn't want her to think that I was a person to be feared. I didn't want her to think that I was at all unattractive. And I believed anger was an unattractive trait. Turns out that's not always true. And I did that for 13 years. And she grew very weary of it. And she didn't even know why. You know, at least she couldn't share that with me. She couldn't share why she was growing out of love with me. I figured out is because I never showed her my true self. I never had a differing opinion. I always agreed with her. It was always kind. I was always kind and respectful and accommodating. And I never had a bad thing to say. Is that real? Is that a real thing? Is that a real person? Never has a bad thing to say ever? Never has a differing opinion ever? Never wants to disagree? Never wants to show a bad side? Never wants to be vulnerable in that way? Because this person wrote and said, well, I'm too vulnerable and accommodating. Are you vulnerable enough to show your true self? Are you vulnerable enough to get angry? Are you vulnerable enough to say, hey, back off, you're hurting me? It's a very vulnerable place. Your internal bodyguard might want that, but who you're listening to? You're probably listening to your heart, and your heart is telling you, I should do this. And your bodyguard is telling you, but I want to do this. Your heart is saying, but I love this person. And your bodyguard is saying, yeah, but there's so many red flags. What are you doing? You need to step back a bit. You have thoughts and opinions too. So there's that on that part of her message. That's what I wanted to say. And another part is, she said, I wanted to get your opinion. I always thought, if I found the right person, it would all fall into place. That's the problem sometimes, unfortunately, is that we believe we find the right person and things are falling into place. But if it's way too much too soon, we might be fulfilling those excessive needs that I talked about earlier. I love that person. They fill every need I have, and the sex is great, and our relationship is wonderful, and they love all the things I love. It could be they're doing that as part of, just to use this term again, the mating ritual, that once the mating ritual is done and there is a commitment and you feel like you're in love and now you feel like we should work on this thing together and stay together, what ends up happening is that we lose some of our protective mechanisms that keep us safe because we are falling into the enjoyment, the whole wonderful experience of being in love because we fell in love, and now we feel like we need to work on it. Even with all the red flags, we feel like we need to work on this. I tell you what, a good relationship, again, this is my opinion, a good, healthy, maybe long-lasting relationship is not the kind you have to work on in 6 months. Again, this is something that some people might disagree with, and I understand why, because we have to get over some humps. We have to figure out what the compromises are in the relationship. We have to be careful about sacrifices. How much are we sacrificing in this relationship? And should we sacrifice something that we care about or we like in order to continue the relationship and make it last long? What should we do to make this relationship as strong as possible? That's what we do. We figure out what to do. But we shouldn't have to be working on it hard, at least. We shouldn't have to work hard at something in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. There should be an easing in and an understanding of each other. And it should follow my formula for love, which is supporting the other person's happiness. If you support someone's happiness, then you're going to support their decisions and what they want to do for themselves and what they want to do in their lives. You're going to support their hobbies. You know, I'm not saying you have to go to the trade shows and all that stuff, whatever they like for a hobby, but you're supporting their choice to do so. You're supporting their choices in their life, even when those choices don't include you, because you want to see them happy. That's my formula for love. And it should work in reverse too. They should love you that way as well. If they support your happiness, they're supporting your decisions and your thoughts about what you want to do in your life and what you love and what makes you happy. And if you make choices that make you happy, they should support those choices, even if they don't disagree with the choices, even if they don't like those choices that you're making. Their support of you making those choices is love. That might mean you make a choice to leave someone. It's still loving to do that. And I'm not saying that you wouldn't have a long conversation before this happened. But if you choose to love someone, you are supporting their happiness and they should support yours as well. That's how I view love. And if you have a relationship like that, then there shouldn't be too much to work on because you're supporting them being themselves. That's why I think that if you're 6 months, 9 months, 12 months into a relationship and you're suddenly working very hard and it's very complex and you're getting into arguments, something's not right. There's the formula for love is not being applied. Again, my formula, this is a personal thing. If you don't follow it, I'm totally cool with it. But this is how I look at it. If I'm supporting my girlfriend's happiness, what is there to argue about? Because I want her to be happy. Now, if we live together, I don't know if you should be living together within a year's time, but let's just say you did. You moved in with somebody and now they want to smoke in the house and you hate smoking. Well, this is why, you fall in love slowly. You got to figure this stuff out. What do they like to do on their leisure time? How do they respond to different life events? And do they have vices that you don't like? And things like that. It's very helpful to fall in love slowly when it comes to things like that. But what happens when it's already too late and you're connected? Well, if you have moved in together and that's what happens, I still think you've got that internal bodyguard that says, hey, you know, this isn't right. I got to talk about it. I got to bring it up. And if they say, well, shut up, I can do anything I want, where do you go with that? Again, this is where I go. I tell them, okay, if that's what you want to do, it's not for me. Now, I might say, I don't want to be around you when you smoke. Just using smoking as an example, but I don't want to be around you when you smoke. So I'm either going to be in the house, you can be outside, or I'll leave and you can do that. Or, and this might be what ends up happening, I can't be with somebody who smokes because I'll smell it all the time. That could happen too. That is my internal bodyguard taking care of me. It's protecting me. But Paul, I'm talking to myself, you're in love. You love this person. You moved in. You've made all these commitments. I know, but is this the way I want to live my life for the rest of my life? Is this how I want the relationship to play out? Because now I'm unhappy. And I always ask myself the question, if nothing ever changes and it stays the same way for the rest of the time we're together, will that be okay? That's the question, and I have to answer it honestly. Well, no, I wouldn't be okay because I don't like the smell of smoke and I cough and I can't even breathe. So I don't know if I could be okay. I don't think so. But I'm going to come up with the answer. I'm going to say, no, I wouldn't be okay. I'm going to be definite or definitive. I want to give myself a real answer. I can't say, well, I don't know. I want to be definitive. I want to be absolute. Well, Paul, what is your answer? No, I wouldn't be okay. I would be unhappy. All right. Now I take that knowing I wouldn't be unhappy and I run with it. Where do I run? I ask myself, what am I going to do now? What's next? And the next thing might be that conversation. Look, I can't live with a smoker. So we have to do something different. And she says, well, I'll vape. I'll say, all right, then. I don't have a problem with that. That's great. Let's do that. That's great. Because that doesn't get into my lungs and I feel it. I'm not saying it's healthy, but at least I wouldn't smell it and I wouldn't feel it. And I could breathe around you and it kind of dissipates in the air. That's nice. Let's, you know, I might consider that. I'm hoping I never have this conversation, but that might be something that I consider because it's a compromise. And she's saying, you know, I care about you enough to make this compromise and I'm still getting, you know, my fix or my need met. So that might be how it goes. Or she could say, this is what I like. I like having the cigarette in my mouth and I like sucking it into my lungs and I like breathing it in and it gives me this wonderful feeling and then I blow it out and I feel so good. And I would say, well, there's no chance that I could be around you then because I don't feel good. And I'm not asking you to change. Now, this is the important part. You don't ask someone to change. You don't say, you better stop it or please stop it, unless they're hurting you intentionally or directly. But you tell them, I can't have that in my life. You can have it in your life, but I can't have that in my life. So I need to do my own thing. And if that's how you want to be and what you want to do, I fully support that. I love you and I want you to be happy. This is what love is, and this is how hard it is to love someone. I'm not saying any of this is easy, or even it doesn't feel possible sometimes. I understand that. But this is how I see it. I want you to be happy, and if that makes you happy, that's what I want for you. It doesn't make me happy. So I need to move on, or I need to do something different. And this is what I'm doing for myself. Because my internal bodyguard, and this is me thinking to myself, my internal bodyguard is aware of my needs and is going to help me through what it needs to do because it knows my criteria. It knows it is supporting my happiness. My internal bodyguard is supporting my happiness and it knows how to help me get to that point. And the hard part is my internal bodyguard is more of a very rational thinker. My internal bodyguard isn't going to say, yeah, but you're in love. Don't do this, Paul. Don't do it. You'll never have this kind of love again. No. My internal bodyguard is not there for that. He just says, this is what you need to do then. If you want to be happy, this is what you need to do. Or at least let me guide you. Let me ask you questions. You know, if they said they were only going to smoke on the weekends, would that be different? Oh, that might be different. My internal bodyguard's helping me rationalize things. And it will help me understand my next steps. It will guide me through what I need to do. I think we need that. I think we need that critical thinker inside our mind to help us through these emotional things that come up. And it is sort of separating from ourselves and asking ourselves questions. And that deeper part of us knows how to guide us. It really does. That deeper part of you knows how to guide you. And we just have to listen. And we have to take out sometimes the emotional longing and the components that make us want something so bad, but we realize there's a rational way to look at this, a reasonable, logical way that needs to step in. Let's look at this logically. Doesn't mean you take your emotions out completely. Your emotions still are driving a good portion of your behaviors. It's just a matter of having that other part of you step in when needed. So there's a lot that I could say about this person who wrote. You know, do you want me to say that you shouldn't date? I don't want to say that because I think dating can be a very educational experience as long as you're not falling in love with every person you meet. I think dating can be a wonderful way to help you see what you need to work on. Whoa, I fall in love really quick. That's something I need to work on. Whoa, I fall for the same type of person every time. So every time they're good looking and charming and they gift bomb me, that might be a huge red flag. Got to keep that internal bodyguard aware and watching out for me. I'm not saying don't. I'm not saying don't try that person. Maybe you'll be lucky and all that criteria that normally leads to a red flag doesn't this time, but it's so important to have something watching out for you. We don't have the ability to bring people with us on dates. Oh, we can. Maybe we should, but we do have that internal bodyguard that can really step up to the plate and make sure we make it through and make sure we're okay and make sure that when there's a red flag that we can take the person who might be having these strong feelings and say, hey, look, this is what's happening. I'm going to tell you straight. You know you can trust me because I'm a part of you. And you've led yourself down some wrong paths before, but I wasn't there. I'm sorry about that. But here I am now. I'm going to help you out. And let's just talk about this. And to the person who wrote, thank you again for writing. The last thing you said was, I want to note that I think these obsessions may be a coping mechanism to distract myself from living with my abusive parents. You're smarter than you think. That internal bodyguard is working for you. That internal bodyguard is helping you figure this out. Yes, it could be. You could be obsessed with certain people, and you need to obsess over this one person who you think is going to fulfill all your dreams and your destiny. But this person is also in a relationship, and it doesn't sound like that person's getting out of a relationship, you know, the one you mentioned in the letter. And if that person has shown any interest in you, I'm going to throw this at you. If that person has shown any interest in you, but they said, yeah, but I'm in a relationship and I don't want to ruin that, kudos to them. And not good. Not good, because they're in a relationship and they're showing interest in you. That means when you're in a relationship with that person, they could show interest in someone else, but, you know, pull back and not want to go with that person until you guys break up or something. I just think we have to be careful. We see how people are when they're in other relationships. I almost guarantee you that's who they're going to be when you're in that relationship too, unless they do some healing, they get some therapy or whatever it is. If they're that person, then they are going to be that person now. So if that person that you're talking about, that you're obsessed about, is in love with you, and I think it's a he said that, then what you're dealing with is somebody who's in a relationship, is not leaving that relationship, telling you that he's in love with you, and what's going to happen when you get into a relationship with him? Because it's kind of built in now. It's like that's who that person is. Again, unless he goes through some healing or some enlightenment or therapy or whatever, that's who he is. So I wouldn't expect anything else. Now, this doesn't mean I'm right, but that's my internal bodyguard saying, nah, there's something wrong there. You know what? I'll have a conversation with you after you break up. Then we can talk. But right now, we shouldn't be talking. You should be focused on your relationship, because if you are my person, I wouldn't want you thinking about somebody else, or especially being in love with somebody else. I wouldn't want that for me. I put myself in the shoes of the other person's relationship. If I were that person, would I want my partner doing those things or thinking those things? No. But here I am introducing myself into this person's life, saying I want to be their partner, but what am I going to get? And this is the internal bodyguard asking you questions. what are you going to get? You're going to get the same person that you see in that relationship, you're going to get for you. Unless there's something big that happens, but that's what happens. I've seen cases where this hasn't happened, yes. I've seen people that left relationships and got into another relationship because they were going to be much happier with this other person. I've seen that happen. I've seen it work. That's great, but I still believe in letting someone be, leaving them alone until they've made up their mind about what they want. And if they've left another relationship, I believe that's the time when you are free to talk and free to have a conversation about any type of relationship with you. So, you know, you didn't tell me any of the details about this other person and if they've expressed interest in you, but I wanted to give you a heads up. If this is the person they are while they're in that relationship, that's the person they're going to be in your relationship. I mean, I've seen this over and over again, many, many times. Someone who cheats in the past relationship cheats in the next one. But again, that's not always true. It's not. Somebody who cheats or betrays or lies or is in love with somebody else while they're in the last relationship could learn a lot of lessons and say, I will never do those things again. And then they jump into the next relationship and they're fantastic. That does happen. But that's why you need that internal bodyguard. That's why you need to look for the signs. That's why you just need to be aware until you're fully comfortable, and don't get too comfortable too quick. You can be comfortable, just don't be there too quick because you might miss some of the signs. And so to your thought about maybe this being a coping mechanism to distract yourself from living with your abusive parents, absolutely it could be, and or, it could also be excessive or exaggerated needs inside of you that you believe you can only fulfill with somebody else in your life, which is very important to understand so that you know that you're not draining somebody else or they're going to drain you because of those excessive needs. Because if we try to get excessive needs fulfilled by somebody else, then that usually leads to a dysfunctional relationship. I'm not always right. I'm just giving you my thoughts and my experience, and this is what I've seen over and over again. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope this helps. I appreciate you. Good luck with this person who wrote. And thank you, everyone else listening. Very grateful that you stopped by and kept listening to this point. We'll be right back with my thank yous and my goodbyes right after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I'm going to thank the patrons of the week, Sally, Maria, Leela, Christy, Andy, Deborah. There are more, but I'm going to read them next week. And it's good to connect with you. Thank you, patrons. Thank you for your support. They are the financial supporters of the show, and I appreciate you. And thank you for everyone that supports the show. And if you find value in the show like these patrons did, you can support the show as well by going to moretob.com, where you have options to do that. Thank you again. And let me tell you about a show that I do. It's called Love and Abuse. It's my other podcast. I've been doing it since 2019. And it's very similar to what I talked about today, but I get into the deeper subject of control and manipulation and emotional abuse over there. So you can find that over at loveandabuse.com. And I also have a program for difficult, toxic, abusive people. If you think that's you or you're not sure, head over to healedbeing.com. If you are an emotionally abusive person that wants to heal and change and show up as the best version of yourself and try to make your relationship last or trying to save it, head over to healedbeing.com and there's more information over there, but you can sign up for the first 4 lessons and a couple free Q&As for free over at healedbeing.com. And finally, thanks to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And for my final words, I'm going to read this email that I got. It says, hi, Paul, I've been listening to your podcast since September or October of last year. Listening to you talk about the things I was going through in my marriage helped me gain the strength and knowledge to leave. At the beginning, I didn't know whether or not I'd get over the trauma and gain clarity, but in the last few months, I've been able to do just that. And what's more impressive is, in my opinion, that I'm also able to recognize the red flags for unhealthy relationships and friendships in myself and others. Because let's be honest, nobody's perfect. We too, we have things to work on. And lately I've been working on rebuilding my life from scratch and realizing that I'll never be the same person I was, and that she only suited me for the time she was around. And that's a good thing in a way, because the old me was naive and sheltered, and I'm so proud of the person I'm becoming today. I guess what I wanted to say is that I'm grateful to you and your podcast for helping me understand that what I was going through wasn't my fault. That, yes, I made mistakes, and I didn't deserve the consequences that were thrown at me. Nobody deserves that, and you also helped me realize what I needed to work on personally. I found lately that while I've gotten rid of quite a few unhealthy coping skills, there are still quite a few more old habits that have been arising that don't necessarily benefit me anymore, and I'm working on replacing them with better habits. I'm really grateful to you and your podcast and the time you take to add to it, and please keep putting out more episodes. Thanks. And there's a big PS here. I'm almost done. I've done a lot of research lately, and I've noticed that the LGBTQ community hasn't had enough focus on abuse. I don't quite know how to go about getting the word out there. And honestly, I'm not sure if you're interested in that topic at all, but if you are, maybe you could talk about it a little bit on your podcast. I know in my situation, and I'm sure many others, I wasn't abused by a man. And I think that was one of the big things that made it harder for me to leave, because when thinking of physical abuse, most people, including myself at the time, envision a man. And unfortunately, that's not always the case. And I think that society's view on such things makes it harder for many people in that community to leave. I wanted to read you the whole thing, and I read it really fast. And there were a couple times where I wanted to say thank you and make comments, but I wanted to just put that out there. Thank you so much for sharing. I shared this mainly because this is what we talked about today. I mean, I'm grateful that this person wrote all this. Thank you so much for your words. I'm very humbled by what you said, but I wanted to read this really quick and include it in this episode, because everything you're saying is exactly what I talked about today. And I don't even think I had this in mind before I made this episode today. So I'm looking at this email, realizing how perfect it is. And your internal bodyguard must have been on duty, helping you out, getting you through whatever you needed to get through. And it sounds like you went through some difficulties, and I'm so sorry you had to deal with that. But thank you for writing this. Thank you for sharing it. And yes, your PS, where you said that you noticed the LGBTQ community hasn't had focus on abuse. I focus on people. I mean, this is what I do at loveandabuse.com. I focus on people, and I focus on them here too, of course. But for emotionally abusive relationships, where I talk specifically about emotional abuse, I don't say man and woman. I don't say this is a relationship. Relationships are defined by who loves who. I mean, romantic relationships. If that person loves that person, or if that person wants to be that person's companion, that's a person loving a person. So when I talk about relationships, when I talk about abuse, I try to keep it open, because you're absolutely right that it's not only men. Men aren't the only people out there that abuse. We get a bad rap sometimes, but there's a lot of men that do it. A lot of men that do it. I used to be emotionally abusive. I used to be that guy who did it. And it took some healing, a lot of healing, and a lot of time, and a lot of understanding, a lot of really being transparent and humble, and focusing on myself instead of other people. It took a lot to get through that. And when I finally got past it and stopped trying to change or control or manipulate other people, that huge burden of wanting to change or control other people was gone. I call it a burden. It's a burden to carry around the desire or need or absolute must of wanting to control or change someone. And when you let that go and support them being themselves, support their happiness, life changes, and you feel no more stress or pressure that somebody's not going to change for you. It's gone. I had to go through an understanding of that. Some people who aren't this way, a lot of people who aren't this way, don't understand that what we do is stress ourselves out by wanting someone else to change. And we stress ourselves out because we try to convince them to change, or we do things that make them feel bad if they don't change. And all of this is coercive behavior, controlling behavior. And that's tough, especially when you have your own things to deal with, like someone with coping mechanisms that they need to work on, like the person who wrote last time in the last segment. She said, I have these coping mechanisms, and I think that's what's causing these problems, and I got to work on that. A coping mechanism is how you cope. I used to cope by making other people feel guilty instead of reflecting on my own behaviors, asking myself if there's another way to do this, or really diving into the reason I do the behavior in the first place. I don't want to cope by hurting someone else anymore. So that was my healing process. So I completely get it. Men are usually the person we think about when it becomes, or when it comes to abusive relationships. And quite honestly, men do it more. It's true. But anyone is capable of it. Anyone is capable of being coercive and controlling and manipulative and abusive emotionally and physically and even sexually and financially and religiously. All of these can be abusive behaviors. I talk about all those kinds of behaviors over at loveandabuse.com. And this isn't an infomercial, but I'm just telling you, this is what I talk about. And it's for everyone, anyone that's going through a relationship where they feel bad more than they feel good. They feel like they can do nothing right. They feel like that no matter what they do, it's wrong. And they are guilted and made to feel bad for being themselves. And I see this over and over again. When somebody finally leaves an abusive relationship, they get to learn who they are inside again. They get to relearn who they were and become who they were, or somebody different that doesn't allow abuse into their lives again. And it changes them. A lot of people are changed after they get out of an abusive relationship. And that's what happens, is that it could be anyone. Like you said, it's harder for people in the community of LGBTQ to leave. But this applies to everyone, no matter who you are, no matter how you identify. Abuse is abuse is abuse. Make that a t-shirt. It's not something you should stick around for. It's something that you should address. And if you need to protect yourself, it's something that you need to do to protect yourself. If you need to get away, you might need to create an escape plan. However severe the abuse is, there are many ways to approach it. And again, I talk about that over my other podcast, but thank you for bringing this up. And I did bring this up as sort of a PSA for anyone that might be in a relationship saying, well, it can't be this because he's not a man, or it can't be this because our situation is different. It's not it at all. I mean, it could be anyone. Anyone can do this. You know, I watched a interrogation the other day. I love these interrogation shows. And the police were interrogating a woman who manipulated a guy to come into her house. And when he did, she shot him. And then she came up with some cockamamie story about how this guy was breaking into her house when she invited him. And when they interrogated her, she seemed perfectly normal. She seemed like somebody you could talk to and you would never realize that she was a killer. But they had so much evidence against her and they caught her in a bunch of lies. And it's just, wow, there are people like this that exist. And that's a woman, not a man. It could be anyone. It could be anyone. And that's why we have that bodyguard inside of us. And if you don't like that term, use something else. But that's kind of the way I think about it. It's helping me out. It's helping me get through life without being sucked in emotionally and following my heart, because my heart loves the emotional stuff. And my brain, my critical thinking mind, loves to make sure that my heart is safe. And that's what I want for you too. Always keep an open mind. This is how you can stay safe and create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.